Chapter 7. Griffin's Incredible Discovery. Dr. Kemp was writing in his office when he heard the gun. "What on earth is happening?" he said and rushed to the window. Outside the Jolly Cricketers, there was an enormous crowd of people, and he watched them for a few minutes before they went back inside. Dr. Kemp returned to his work, and many hours later, he decided to go to bed. As he approached his room, Dr. Kemp saw a dark mark on the floor. It was blood. There was also blood on the handle of the door, and he opened it slowly. With horror, Dr. Kemp saw that his sheets were also covered with blood. Despite the danger, he wanted to solve this mystery and began to look around the room. "Kemp! It's Kemp, I don't believe it," said a voice from nowhere, and a massive bloody bandage moved towards him. Dr. Kemp thought it must be a nightmare, but the fellow then said, "Don't worry. I'm invisible, you see. The bandage is for my arm, though, as some stupid man shot me." Dr. Kemp reached out and felt the invisible fingers. His face turned pale, and he backed towards the door. The figure grabbed him, and they struggled until someone threw him onto the bed. Dr. Kemp tried to scream, but the invisible man spread his invisible hand over his mouth. "Listen. I'm not going to hurt you. I am the victim here. They shot me. It's Griffin here, Dr. Kemp, Griffin from university, you know me. I'm just a human, but a science experiment made me invisible. Do you understand? I just need your help because I am injured. My appearance in your house is an accident, but a lucky accident." Dr. Kemp recognized the name and the voice now, but he was still confused and unsure. Griffin asked for some clothes, food, drink, and a new bandage. Dr. Kemp gave him everything Griffin asked for. The voice was transforming into something which looked like half a man in a dressing gown, yet this man had no head. However, Dr. Kemp gradually relaxed as Griffin talked to him in his familiar voice. "But what happened, Griffin? How did you become invisible and what are you going to do about it now?" Griffin ignored most of Dr. Kemp's questions, but he was complaining about a man who had stolen all his money and a stranger who had shot him. It sounded like nonsense, and soon Griffin announced he needed to sleep and lay down on the bed. In a few minutes, there was the sound of snoring. What could Dr. Kemp do? He sat awake and watched a headless man sleeping until the sun rose. The invisible man, or Griffin as he called himself, was still sleeping deeply, so Dr. Kemp decided to have breakfast and think about these strange circumstances. As he ate, he read the newspaper and discovered all these stories about an invisible man in Iping, money stolen by itself, and now a fight with a man who was not there in Burdock. "He really is invisible," he exclaimed. "Apparently, he is also mad and violent and a thief. What can I do?" He thought for a long time and then picked up a sheet of paper and wrote a letter. He put it in an envelope and addressed it to Colonel A.D. Burdock Police Station. Afterwards, he went upstairs to the bedroom where he could hear footsteps. "Good morning, Griffin, if I can call you that name," Dr. Kemp began to speak. "I have been reading the papers, and the whole world is talking about an invisible citizen. But no one knows you are here. I don't know your plans, but I'm anxious to help you if I can." "Yes, thank you for your aid. I need a partner because that Marvel fellow has run away." "Wait a moment," Dr. Kemp replied nervously. "I need to know more about you and this invisibility thing first. You have to give me an explanation." That is how Dr. Kemp learned about Griffin's years of studying light and how it was reflected. Griffin had observed how glass became invisible in water, and this inspired him for 3 years. All that time, Griffin studied and experimented until he believed he had discovered how to turn something invisible. "Finally, one night, I realized I could turn red blood cells white, and that would allow me to make something or someone invisible." Griffin was so excited as he told his story to Dr. Kemp. "It was an incredible discovery. I realized that invisibility was a possibility. Now I had to do it in reality. I could make myself invisible. Imagine the power." Then there was silence. Griffin was hesitating as if he did not want to tell the next part of the narrative. Finally, he spoke. "But there was a problem. I needed money," he explained. "I stole the money from my father. That's where it became complicated because it was not his money, so my father shot himself." Dr. Kemp was horrified at this news, but he did not want to criticize Griffin and make him angry again, so he stayed silent. "Soon," Griffin continued, "with the money, I could move away, and I found a room in Great Portland Street in London. It wasn't a very pleasant place, but I could work here without being interrupted. I built myself a laboratory and bought all the equipment I needed. Here I could work secretly. I started with small things, like material and buttons, and then I moved on to larger objects. It was incredible to me. I really could make things invisible, but I wanted to try the experiment with something alive." "What did you do?" asked Dr. Kemp, who was shocked because Griffin was full of excitement. "I found a cat," Griffin answered. "I gave it some milk, and I put it in the machine. It took hours for all the fur, skin, flesh, and bones to disappear. Unfortunately, some parts would not disappear. Only two things were remaining, the claws and part of the eyes. Kemp, the cat looked like it had ghost eyes which shone in the dark and these odd claws from its feet." "That is awful," Dr. Kemp could not stop himself. Griffin just laughed. "I let it go out of the window, and I saw its ghost eyes shining. Then it ran away. I searched for it a few days later, but it was gone. Anyway, the cat is of no importance. The next part of the story is about me, and how I became invisible."